Recently in Sri Dham, Mayapur, on the occasion of the 150th Vyasa Puja appearance day, that means of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I mentioned how some devotees say that I must have been his disciple in a previous life. And I said that this is ridiculous, because how could I be a godbrother of our Srila Prabhupada when he's my master, birth after birth? A godbrother wrote me after that, saying that, or requesting that I elucidate on the Guru Tattva in this regard. And he asked me in the email, "What do I understand happens when amongst the disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, not all make it in one lifetime and have to take it birth again? Does this mean that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has to again appear personally in another form to deliver them? Does he appear in a dream or vision and guide them to someone?" Then he wrote, "The whole subject of godbrother seems a rather shallow one. Is it not possible that one's own initiated disciple could be one's guru from a previous lifetime? The case of Bhagavad Jana Ananda Das and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, for instance. Does the Sadguru appear through other devotees to guide the devotee forward? Do you see that the present system in ISKCON, where neophytes like myself are giving initiation, so to speak, is that an eternal connection or a step towards that, guiding one towards one's eternal guru? Perhaps in the case of Shyamananda Pandit and his gurus, for instance. How to understand Sadguru and the present guru initiation in ISKCON or any other Gaudiya organization? Is it not possible that some of Saraswati Thakur's disciples, if they had to take birth again, could have become disciples of our Srila Prabhupada?" Regarding the case, All right, let's try and discuss this. Remembering Srila Prabhupada and all our gurus. The case of Bhagavad Janananda was that he joined as a young boy, a youth, Gaudiya Math, and he passed away very early, just shortly after joining. He had written an article for the Gaudiya magazine, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati read after the passing of Bhagavad Janananda. And after reading that article, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "Oh, he was my guru, but I didn't recognize him." He says, "The present system in ISKCON, where neophytes like myself are giving initiation, well, it's natural that a devotee considers himself to be a neophyte if he's actually advanced." And yeah, we may say in comparison, definitely, I know myself, in comparison with Srila Prabhupada, I'm just fortunate to be considered a speck in the dust of his lotus feet. Who am I compared to Srila Prabhupada? But still, his order is there to give initiation. So the question is there, is the initiation that I give or my godbrother gives, is it an eternal connection or a step towards that? And he gives the case of Shyamananda Pandit. Now, Shyamananda, of course, he was initiated by Hriday Chaitanya, but later he got a further initiation by Radharani herself. And that was supposed to have been given him by Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami was the one who actually taught him. So who's the real guru here? We say Chokhu Dano Dilo Jai Janme Janme Prabhu Se. This, of course, comes from Narottam Das's song that we sing daily. Who has given me the eyes? Who has given me eyes, it literally means. He is my Lord, birth, birth after birth. We see in the case of Narottam, Srinivas, and Shamananda, they were all initiated by different gurus, but their actual training in Gaudiya Siddhanta was all from Jiva Goswami. But this song, Narottam Das sings, Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakati Satma, he's specifically singing it to his guru, Lokanath Goswami. He sings Lokanath Lokera Jivan. And throughout Narottam's songs, his many songs, Prem Bhakti Chandrika, this Sri Guru Charana Padma is the first song in Prem Bhakti Chandrika, and in Prarthana, he mentions Lokanath Goswami as his guru, as the one who is leading him to Krishna, or even more specifically, to Rupa Manjari. Kobi Lokanath More Shonga Loya Jabe, Sri Rupa Pada Padde More Shamarpibe. He's praying, when will Lokanath, taking me along with him, offer me at the lotus feet of Rupa, which can be understood as Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari. So we see in the case of Srinivas, Shamananda, and Narottam that they all took spiritual guidance intensively from Jiva Goswami, but they still very much identified themselves as the disciples of the guru who gave them initiation. Of course, there may be many gurus, mantra guru, arjato, shikha guru gon. At the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, whose initiating guru, we don't know who it is, he doesn't mention, but he does mention throughout. Yeah, he says mantra guru, the guru who gives us initiation into the mantra, and the shikha gurus, the shiksha gurus, there may be many, and he himself, throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, refers to the six Goswamis as his gurus. In different places he refers to Swarup Damodar and many others as his gurus. But this song, from which we get this line, Janme Janme Prabhu Se, that by Narottam Das, he's specifically praying to that one specific guru as he sees as his guru among his many gurus. Srila Prabhupada often quoted, Janme Janme Prabhu Se, my Lord, birth after birth. He stressed the eternality of the guru-disciple relationship. In his purport to Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 7, Text 21, he writes, Narottam Das Thakur says, Chokhu Dano Dilo Jai Janme Janme Prabhu Se. The guru gives spiritual insight to the disciple, and therefore the guru should be considered his master life after life. In a letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote in 1976 to Upendra, one of his early disciples and one who personally served Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada wrote, as to your question concerning whether relationships between devotees are eternal, the answer is yes. This is confirmed by Sri Narottam Das Thakur, Chokhu Dano Dilo Jai Janme Janme Prabhu Se. He is my Lord, birth after birth. So this gives the idea, relationships between devotees are eternal. This gives the idea that the disciples of a guru, they all are under him eternally, which means their relationships with each other are also eternal. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on Prem Bhakti Chandrika, says that the words Janme Janme Prabhu means that the spiritual master is able to remove the coverings of nescience of the living entities born in this material world, Chokudan, that refers to, and he is also able to engage the living entities in the loving service of Sri Govinda, the transcendental cowherd boy of Braja Mandala, which is beyond the realm of Maya. So, in this material world, everything is temporary. Who gives the spiritual knowledge or the eyesight to see one's eternal relationship with Krishna, then, because he gives entry into the eternal world, and the Guru's also eternal, this is what I'm extrapolating on what Vishwanath Chakravarti says. Therefore, Vishwanath says, whether one is in the practicing stage of sadhana or in the perfected stage, Siddha Vastu Siddhi, the spiritual master is always one's worshipable Lord. In this regard, I'll give a few anecdotes of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. A man once came to him claiming to have been his disciple in a previous life, but then he had to take the form as a Brahma Rakshasa, as a punishment for having kicked a woman devotee. And this man said that now I'm freed from that sinful reaction and again possessing a human body, but I can't find that devotee who he had offended to beg forgiveness. So he was requesting Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to excuse him on her behalf. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati did so and initiated him as Brahmanyadev, Brahmanyadev Das. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati initiated him. He was a devotee in a previous life. He had some memory of his previous life, of the offense he'd committed, but he didn't say that I was your disciple in a previous life. Once Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was present with many other devotees present, and Sadananda, who was a disciple, a relative newcomer, he'd come from Germany, he said, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said to Sadananda, you and I have been together throughout eternity, which amazed Sadananda and amazed the other devotees present also, because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati didn't say that to others, he said it to him. I certainly feel an eternal connection with Srila Prabhupada. I have that hope that I'm going to see Prabhupada at the end of this life. Seeing Krishna, I don't know. But seeing Prabhupada, that I'm looking forward to. If he'll be so kind to again admit me in his presence. Srila Prabhupada said, speaking in Vrindavan in 1977, that the spiritual master who has opened the eyes, he is the life of the disciple. And then Prabhupada quoted, Chokudano Diloje, Janme Janme Prabhu Se. Srila Prabhupada continued, nobody can repay the indebtedness of this to the spiritual master, even by getting a duration of life like Brahma. And that Prabhupada is alluding to a statement of Uddhava's. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we find Uddhava saying to Krishna that no one can repay the indebtedness to you, Krishna, because you guide the devotee from within the heart as Chaitya Guru and by manifesting externally as the Guru who guides one. So we can't repay the debt to the Guru. Anyone who gives us spiritual knowledge, we can't repay that debt because this spiritual knowledge, it's vaster than anything we can give. But we have to try to repay the debt to the Guru. That is the duty of the disciple. So this can go on forever. Now, what the devotee, my godbrother, was writing to me, was alluding to, is that, well, okay, that's all right for topmost devotees, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. But what about someone like me? Even a lower level guru like myself, I definitely feel that Krishna has sent some disciples to me. It's not that it's just, okay. But there's a strong bond. Why should that connection be broken by death? I think most of my disciples think that the link with me is eternal. And I also, having entered into that, I don't just think of it as something temporary. That just, okay, someone, they have to get initiated, okay, all right, initiate them, finished. How exactly that bond will work birth after birth, not exactly sure. Krishna will orchestrate it. There are so many questions about Guru Tattva, about so many things that may be beyond our intelligence to fully understand it. We know Lord Chaitanya said, Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Out of so many jivas wandering in the universe, one may be fortunate to, what is that fortune? By Krishna's mercy, he gets a guru. And by the guru's mercy, he gets Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says, well, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Krishna Das Kaviraj says, Guru Krishna Rupan Shastra Pramane, Guru Rupe Krishna Kripa Karen Bhaktagone. He says that the Guru is the manifestation of Krishna. This is stated in Shastra, again that verse from Uddhava. And in the form of the Guru, Krishna gives mercy to the devotees. Jojapi ama guru chaitanya das tatapi janayotaha chaitanya prakash. I know that my guru is a manifestation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But at the same time, I know he's a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these are inexplicable subjects. The guru acts as a representative of Krishna, and Krishna is manifest as the guru, means it's actually Krishna who comes life after life. Exactly how he manages all of this is a logic which may be beyond our conception. Okay, say I was a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in my last life, theoretically speaking, but I didn't make it back to Godhead. Then the normal course is that you go up to the heavenly worlds. Srila Prabhupada wrote this about Jayananda Prabhu. He said, either you went directly back to Godhead after Jayananda Prabhu passed away. Prabhupada wrote that either you, he wrote a letter to Jayananda after Jayananda Prabhu's passing, either you went directly back to Godhead, or if you had any little remnant of material desire, that means you must have gone to the heavenly worlds and you'll enjoy there for a long time and then come again. So there could be a huge time gap before coming again. Of course, Krishna can make a huge time gap in past just in a second, as he did with the Rasa Leela dancing. It was one night on earth, but a night of Lord Brahma for those who are participating, namely Krishna and the gopis. Every case isn't going to be the same, but to say that in my last life I was on this planet as a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, it's an even to say I was in this universe, what does on this planet or in this universe, we don't know. We do know that it's Krishna who orchestrates us to get guru. And Krishna himself is the original guru of everyone. It's Krishna who arranges that once we get on the path to him, he arranges for us to come to him. He's all attractive and he attracts us, brings us to him. It may take many, many lives. We may go astray. We may, due to offense, become a Brahma Rakshasa for who knows how long. Whether he manifests as the same jiva as our guru in each life, we don't know. Anything is possible. Even if we were to join Srila Prabhupada in the next life, wherever he may be, would he be exactly in the same form? Is there another New York City somewhere else in another universe and Srila Prabhupada goes there on a steamship? The details are going to be different. Just like Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. He said, I spoke this knowledge a long time ago. I spoke this Bhagavad Gita a long time ago to Vivasvan. But the verses wouldn't be exactly the same. For instance, Krishna, when he spoke to Vivasvan, he wouldn't say, imang vivasvate yogam proktavanaham avyayam. He wouldn't say that, that I spoke this long ago to Vivasvan. And he wouldn't say, rasoham apsu kaunteya. O Kaunteya, Arjuna, I am the taste in water. He wouldn't say that because he's speaking to Vivasvan. So the verses are going to be different. And the whole context that he's speaking Bhagavad Gita to incite Arjuna to fight, that's not going to be there. So Krishna spoke the same basic knowledge to Vivasvan, but the verses exactly in the Bhagavad Gita, even though we accept them as canonical, they're not necessarily going to be the same. Some of them may be. Dehino sminyata dehe komarang yovanang jaratata dehantara prapti dhirastatra namuhyati. So this verse, it may be exactly the same when Krishna spoke to Vivasvan, because it's beyond the context that he's speaking to Arjuna. Some verses may be different. Anyway, how does he appear as our guru in another life? Well, Krishna can do anything. What to speak of Krishna manifesting himself in different forms? Even Krishna empowers various demigods to have anshas or parts of themselves or representations of themselves that are present in different parts of the universe. So if Krishna wants, he can empower any particular jiva to be simultaneously in the spiritual world and in the material world, serving him in the material world. What about myself with my disciples? My disciples are inspired by me. That's what they tell me. But do I think of them, yes, you were with me in a previous life? Do I remember my previous life? No. What we do know is that Krishna sends a guru to an individual to help that person who is sincere to attain Krishna. And that's how my gurus see me, how my disciples see me. Brahmanda Brahmate Kono Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. The general attitude should be for all disciples to their guru is that, well, Krishna has arranged for this person who is worshipable for me to surrender to, so that I can surrender to him, through him to Srila Prabhupada, through the Parampara, and up to Krishna. This is all Krishna's arrangement. This should be the attitude of the disciple, that Krishna has arranged this person, his representative. Now, it is a fact that some, after taking initiation, feel disenchanted with their initiation guru. Well, that's another big discussion. They may gravitate toward taking shiksha from another. That wasn't the case with Hriday Chaitanya and Shyamananda Pandit. He didn't feel any lacking in Hriday Chaitanya, but he was in a different bhav in relation to Krishna. That's very esoteric subjects. Obviously, some gurus are manifesting more of Krishna's potency than others. Krishna's potency is unlimited, and what the guru gives, the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, that's unlimited, but definitely Srila Prabhupada was immensely powerful guru. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was immensely powerful guru. And gurus, like my godbrother, who wrote this letter, and myself, we are acting as gurus on the order of Srila Prabhupada, which is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jare dekho tare koha Krishna upadesh. We're doing that, but we don't try to represent ourselves. And I don't think anyone thinks like that, that we're actually on the level of Srila Prabhupada. Now, in one sense, yes, because we give the same knowledge, but we don't pretend, and it would be futile to do so, to be have that level of potency for spreading Krishna consciousness. Now, then some may say, well, I came to Krishna consciousness by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and there are so many gurus, and I took one guru, but it's Prabhupada who gave me the eyes of spiritual knowledge, Chokhu Dana Diloje. That's what some who get initiated within ISKCON say. They go off to Ritvikism. Okay, it's a fact. We all study Prabhupada's books. But to enter into the life of devotional service, to guide us how to use our beads, how to bow down, what mantras to say, to explain further, to help resolve doubts. There are others who help and guide us. Among them, you select one who you see to be ideal, to approach and ask humbly to be initiated into the sampradaya. If you think that, well, I don't know, who are all these disciples of Prabhupada? I'm also a disciple of Prabhupada. Why should Prabhupada accept? You can't barge your way into his association. That is the whole system since time immemorial. The guru's disciples become the gurus in the next generation, and the disciples of those gurus, just as we've been through this topic so many times, just like, for instance, in the Ramanuja Sampradaya or the Madhva Sampradaya, they all give the highest respect to Ramanuja and Madhva, but it doesn't mean that they think, well, my guru who initiated me is, they don't think like that. They'd be horrified to think like this. This is the Mayavadi Guru Mara Vidya. You take knowledge from a guru and then you just cast him aside and take his position. It's really going on in Ritvikism. It's exactly like that. You want to take the position of a guru without taking the position of a genuine disciple. But who is a guru, who performs at service of being guru in all seriousness according to the proper system, identifies himself primarily as a disciple. I don't think of my identity primarily as being a guru. That is my service to my guru. I'm his disciple. That is my main identity. I remember one of my godbrothers years ago who was guru, and he told me some instance of his early life before he came to Krishna consciousness, how he was leading others. He says, "You see, even at that time, I was a guru." I didn't think that was very healthy. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that Bhagavad Jnanananda was my guru, he saw him like that. Great devotees, they see all others as gurus. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, "I don't have any disciples. All of my disciples, they're all my gurus." Our own Srila Prabhupada also sometimes said like that. Just, we see, in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, we have the description of the 24 gurus identified mostly from nature. The Avadhut speaking to Prahlad Maharaj. So he showed that, well, everything, anyone, everywhere is a guru. If we have the eye, if we have the eyes to see, everything is Krishna's energy, and Krishna can manifest himself fully or partially through each atom. If we are open to it, we can find Krishna teaching us everywhere and everything. This is material, but subtle. There's the science of omens, which if you understand it, then by seeing the movements of the birds, the sounds of the lizards, the twitchings of the muscles, it's Krishna communicating with us. We have to learn the system. Or the 24 gurus from nature we see. Prabhupada also, he would often point at something. What is the meaning of this? There's a lot of bird stool under one branch of a tree. Prabhupada says, "What is the meaning of this?" And devotees looking at the bird stool are wondering if it's the positioning of the bird stool. Maybe it says there's some kind of mystical message in it, just like there's one kind of divination by seeing the position of the tea leaves. Anyway, Prabhupada said that it means that the birds come to the same branch every day. Even the birds are attached to what they consider to be their home. So Prabhupada saw a lesson in bird stool. Krishna, as guru in his heart, communicated with Srila Prabhupada that way, and he communicated it to us. So gurus are everywhere, but there is a particular form that we need to take shelter of at a particular time. Our guru may manifest in so many different ways. After the passing of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada was publishing his Back to Godhead magazine when a librarian in Delhi advised him to write books rather than magazines, because books last. People just throw away magazines and people tend to take books more seriously. And Srila Prabhupada took it that his guru was speaking through that librarian. Not that the librarian thought, "Now Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has entered my heart and I'm speaking," but it's Krishna manifesting as Paramatma in the heart, or manifesting the words of his guru. He's manifesting. The guru is the external representative of the Paramatma, and the Paramatma is present in the heart of all living beings. So Krishna, who we see speaking to us through our guru, that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he's not personally present, but Prabhupada saw him, he's speaking through this librarian. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that it is necessary to keep the mind fully open to be enabled to recognize the agent of the Absolute. Under whatever external form he may choose to manifest his appearance to our erring vision. We have to be open to see that our guru is there. Librarian, okay, what about a prostitute? Bilva Mangal Thakur saw the prostitute Chintamani as his guru. And he, it's not just that she said that, and then, okay, and I'll go off and go to Vrindavan. But he remained grateful so that he put that in his composition, Krishna Kanamrita. He offered his respects to Chintamani for putting him on the right path. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati often referred to Rupa Goswami as his guru. Does that mean that he doesn't see Gorky Shardas Babaji Maharaj as his guru? Practically, there were two main gurus for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Rupa Goswami and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But he often referred to Rupa Goswami as his guru. So when we say, my guru birth after birth, well, we have Prabhupada is our guru, Rupa Goswami is our guru. We have so many eternal gurus. But this song in which we say, Chokudan Dilo Jai Janme Janme Prabhu Say, it's addressed in the singular. It's addressed specifically, Narottam Das was praying to Lokanath Goswami. And when we say it before, sing it before Prabhupada, we're all addressing it specifically to Prabhupada. So having many gurus, it doesn't discount that one in particular who we particularly take shelter of. I just said Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had two main gurus in his life, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gorky Shardas Babaji Maharaj. So he took them both extremely seriously. Generally one. Narottam himself took Lokanath very seriously, took Lokanath as the main one, but it's not that he didn't take Jiva Goswami very seriously. Spiritual relationship, what we're looking at, the crux of the matter is the relationship between the guru and the disciple, even you could say a lesser guru like myself, although the disciple shouldn't think of a lesser guru. Is it eternal? Well, is it spiritual? If it's spiritual, it's got to be eternal. Nasato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sataha. That which is not eternal is, by its very nature, it's axiomatic to say that it's not going to last. And that which is eternal, by its very nature, it's going to last. However, in the spiritual world, the roles may be very different to what we see now. In the spiritual world, I'm confident of at some point attaining that by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. Will Srila Prabhupada be there? Well, maybe in a different role altogether. It's not that Srila Prabhupada is going to be dressed as a sannyasi. But still there are superiors in this and juniors in the spiritual world and a whole hierarchy. There are Radha and Krishna. And then there are the immediate Sakhi assistants of Radharani, and then there are assistants of the Sakhis and assistants of the assistants. Discussion of Srila Prabhupada's form in the spiritual world, it's been pretty well established that Srila Prabhupada in his eternal, internal ecstasy is a cowherd boy in Krishna's pastimes. Yet, Srila Prabhupada also wrote that the aim of this Krishna conscious movement is to join the Supreme Lord in his pleasure dance, the Rasa Leela. So it may be that some of his disciples become gopis. Well, maybe a cowherd boy could be the guru in the spiritual world of a gopi, in the sense that it could be an elder brother. And this is a very esoteric discussion. Let's bring it down to what we can say, the level that we can perceive and begin to understand. One of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disciples, all these anecdotes I'm giving are from, I've chronicled them in Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. One of his disciples, he was a young boy, Radharaman, initiated as Radharaman. And he was on a preaching party and he said to the sannyasi who was there leading the party, he said, "This Jivesurupoi Krishna Nitya Das, I don't accept this, that the living entity is the eternal servant of Krishna." And the sannyasi became very angry and said, "Well, how can you dare to say such a thing?" And Radharaman, he said, "Okay, I'll write an article about it." So he wrote an article which was published in the Gauriya magazine, and that was very pleasing to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Radharaman wrote that, "Certainly I am an eternal servant of Krishna. However, at this stage, I don't know Krishna, so I don't have any realization of my relationship with Krishna. So if I say now that I am an eternal servant of Krishna, it's only lip service. But I know my Gurudev and I recognize myself as his eternal servant. And by his grace, perhaps one day I will come to know Krishna. And then and only then, not before, I will appreciate fully my position as Krishna's eternal servant. Right now I understand that I am the eternal servant of my Guru. That is my real identity." There were some cases of disciples of Bhaktivinoda Thakur who, after his passing, accepted Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati as their guru. The best known, a very prominent devotee, Jagadish Bhakti Pradeep, he took initiation from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he took sannyas from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and Swarna Didi was she was an elderly woman who they both saw Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati practically as their guru on the level of Bhaktivinoda. Considering that they had been entrusted to his care by Srila Bhaktivinoda. And what about devotees like myself, who are in the category that Srila Prabhupada mentioned, that a guru is meant to be a liberated soul, but one who's not liberated can act as a spiritual master by following faithfully in the footsteps of a liberated soul. So how can I say I'm a guru? Well, on the order of Srila Prabhupada, I can instruct because I know what to do because I learned it from Srila Prabhupada, and actually I learned it from so many of my godbrothers also, especially when I first joined. I'm teaching them to do what Srila Prabhupada said, which I'm also supposed to do. I'm more experienced than my disciples in doing that, and I've been through various ups and downs and ins and outs. So I teach them to follow what I'm doing, what Srila Prabhupada said to do, and I help to guide them through various hurdles and show them the way. But I can't say I'm in the position of a completely liberated soul. So what am I and my godbrother, putting himself in this position, doing? We're guiding devotees towards Srila Prabhupada, and he guides them toward his guru. And like this, at the same time, the guru is meant to be directly connected to Krishna. Krishna she tomara, Krishna dite para, tomara shakati ache. Well, that's true of us also. Every living being has an eternal direct relationship with Krishna. At the same time, that direct relationship is mediated, at least on this plane, through the guru. That's what Radharaman was saying. I don't know Krishna, but I know my guru. Is it possible that some of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disciples could take birth again? And could they become disciples of our Srila Prabhupada? Well, anything seems possible, but it seems to me unlikely that you have a relationship of being basically on the same level socially. Yeah, the guru giving initiation, there's a kind of spiritual social system there also. So it seems unlikely that you'd become the disciple. If I had to take birth again, if I'm lucky enough to, I guess I have to suffer for all my wrongdoings, but I can hope to have the opportunity to come in contact with devotees and devotional service again. I see among my God brothers' disciples and among my own disciples some who I think, if I have to come again, I'd like to be his disciple, because I can see that they are fit to shelter and guide in the seminal system. Sometimes the father becomes the son or the grandson. In Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada states that in his purports, Prabhupada says that one should see the senior godbrothers on the level of one's own guru. Or it said that Prahlad Maharaj did this. So that parallels the family relationship in which the elder brother is seen as good as the father. That's the ideal, like Lakshman related to Rama. That's the ideal. I know some of my godbrothers used to and treat me as if I'm their disciple. And even though they were very senior to me, I didn't feel so comfortable. Maybe because somewhat condescending attitude. Some still do. I feel uncomfortable with the idea that any of my god siblings could be my disciple in a future birth. I offer them respect as my godbrothers, godsisters. Maybe it's just my sentiment, but it doesn't seem possible to me. It's up to Krishna. In my book, My Memories of Srila Prabhupada, I wrote about my previous life before coming to Krishna consciousness. I wrote, sometimes devotees ask about my life before meeting Srila Prabhupada, but I do not like to tell them. There are so many conditioned souls wandering in the universe, and there is no value in hearing about one more. For those who really want to know my previous life history, here it is. I was a dog. I'm still a dog, but now I'm Srila Prabhupada's dog. His mercy is all that I am made of. In that book, My Memories of Srila Prabhupada, I also wrote, some devotees have deduced from astrology or hypnotic regression that in their last life they were a pujari, yogi, devotee, or whatever. I congratulate them on their exalted background. Personally, I have no knowledge of my previous life. I only know that after many, many lives of suffering and ignorance, Srila Prabhupada saved me. I was in Maya, maybe as a Brahmana or a Brahma, or a worm in stool, but in Maya I certainly was. From another book I wrote called Jai Srila Prabhupada, Addressing Srila Prabhupada, I wrote, I was a street dog, you, a Vaishnava aristocrat, What did you have to do with me? But you picked me up. Indeed, you did not hesitate to pick me up, being still filled with an astonishing repertoire of ghastly material desires. I am still so far from Krishna. I know that my lack of advancement in Krishna consciousness cannot be very pleasing to you, but still I am not despondent because I have got you. Now I am a dog with a master. Sanata jivitam. So reflecting on this, if at all I was anything in my previous life except a dog, now we're going back to my previous birth. Maybe I was a Bengali villager who just, they go on pilgrimage and went to Mayapur, and as their culture, they roll in the dust. Maybe I was a Bengali villager who went to Mayapur, rolled in the dust at a spot where Srila Prabhupada had walked on, or I was a dog who rolled in that dust. One thing is, considering all this, don't make him return. Both our own Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisthan Saraswati spoke about coming back to deliver disciples who don't make it in one lifetime. Srila Prabhupada would say, don't make me come back. We also have the idea, maybe I could join Prabhupada wherever he may be in his preaching. He said that the spiritual master has eternal associates who go with him wherever he goes to assist in his preaching. So yeah, that sounds good. You recognize him as your guru in another life. That's the idea. Many disciples of Srila Prabhupada experienced that. That when they met Prabhupada, they it was like, ding! Yes, this is my guru. They may not have thought it from a previous life, but they feel a connection immediately. This is my guru. And the same is going on in this generation. Some devotees, they see disciples of Srila Prabhupada and say, yes, this is my guru. By hearing, yes, this is what I need to hear. This is what I need to follow. Perceiving that many of his disciples would falter, Srila Prabhupada predicted, most of my disciples will become demigods. Most mercifully, Srila Prabhupada assured that even if they fail to go back to Godhead in this life, he will return for them. Srila Prabhupada wrote, in relationship with my disciples who are so kindly cooperating with me in the matter of rendering service to my spiritual master, for them I am always ready to come back from Golok Vrindavan if they are not delivered along with me. So Prabhupada saying, I'm in Golok Vrindavan, but I'll come back for you. But still, he told his disciples, you should practice seriously so that he does not need to return, so that Prabhupada himself doesn't need to return to pick them up. Srila Prabhupada wrote, if somebody does not go to the spiritual sky, then I shall have to come back to take him there. One should remember this, and every one of my disciples should act in such a way that they may go with me and may not have to come back to take another birth. But Srila Prabhupada didn't automatically assume responsibility for uncommitted disciples. Once a devotee asked Prabhupada that Jesus Christ, as a guru, was he responsible for coming back to save everyone claiming to be his follower? And Prabhupada replied, if you please him, then he is responsible. And then Prabhupada continued by quoting, yasya prasada nagati katopi. If you displease him, then you are nowhere. So if you take it this way, that my spiritual master has taken responsibility, so whatever nonsense I do, it doesn't matter. Srila Prabhupada criticized that the Christians are thinking, Jesus Christ has taken a contract for all our sinful activities so we can do anything, whatever we like. Prabhupada said, that is not the fact. If someone takes responsibility for you, you must abide by his order. You see? That's the point. If you abide by his order, then you're eternally connected with him. If you don't abide by his order, then you're adrift. Then the relationship is based on accepting a guru means to follow his order. That's how the relationship is established. If you don't do that, then because you sat in a sacrifice and got given some beads and a name, doesn't necessarily mean that the relationship is eternal. We have to do our part also. Relationship means it's two ways. Now I'm going to go back to what Prabhupada was saying. If one takes responsibility for you, you must abide by his order. Otherwise, how is it that he simply takes responsibility and you don't abide by his order? It is reciprocal. But the Christians are thinking, because we have taken to Christian religion, now we are safe. We can do anything we like and Lord Jesus Christ will compensate. He'll be every time crucified and we can go on doing all nonsense. That's not a very good idea. As Vishwanath Chakravarti said, yasya prasadad bhagavat prasada. If you please your spiritual master, then God will be pleased. If you don't please him, then you are nowhere. Once a disciple asked about this, in the Guru Puja song we sing, you are my spiritual master, life after life. And he asked Srila Prabhupada, does this mean that if we don't make it in this lifetime, you'll come back to save us? And Prabhupada became angry and banged his fist and said, you make it in this lifetime. Don't make me come back. And when Jayapataka Swami Maharaj said to Prabhupada, I want to serve you life after life, Prabhupada responded, but don't make me come back. So back to the original question. How does this Janme Janme Prabhu say, how does that work? We've discussed some aspects of it, but much of it is achintya. Like so many aspects of Guru Tattva, it's inconceivable. It may be something we'll comprehend later after we've liberated. A devotee in New Mayapur asked Srila Prabhupada, if we don't finish our Krishna consciousness in this life, how do we come in contact with the Guru in the next life? Prabhupada replied, yes, that arrangement will be done. You go on with your business. We are singing this song daily. Why do you forget? Choku dano dilo jay, janme janme prabhu say. One who has opened the eyes, he'll remain my master life after life. So Prabhupada's saying that you go on with your business. You serve according to the Guru's order. I'm extrapolating this. And the arrangement will be made. How will you come in contact? The arrangement will be made, Prabhupada said. You just go on doing what you're doing with the faith that who has opened my eyes will remain my master life after life. There is a conversation, I'm just going to take the essence of the points because it's long and it rambles here on the different points. But Govinda Dasi asked Srila Prabhupada that our relationship with you as spiritual master has existed eternally in the past, and will it exist eternally? Prabhupada said, don't bother with it. Go on. Past and present, you are future. Just carry out the orders, that's all. When you have accepted a spiritual master, you carry out the orders, that's all. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, Srila Prabhupada. Choku dano dilo jay janme janme prabhu se. Past means that in the past you could not carry out, therefore you had to accept another birth. So carry out the order. Now you got this position, carry out. That is the point. What is the use of talking about the past, present, and future? Ana kari homane asha. This is wanted. Don't think of anything else. That is the point. So if we act on that platform, anākarihamanyāśa, no desire than to serve the words of the spiritual master, then we're connected eternally. Then Siddha Swarup, Ananda Goswami, who was present in that conversation, said, so then if I'm worried about my past or future, and Prabhupada said, no, whatever is past. Now I've got the knowledge, let me carry it out. Chokudan, now I've got this real knowledge, what is the use of thinking of the past? In the past, somebody was a hippie, he was drinking. That world is past. Let me progress. Let me do the responsible thing. Why bother about the past? The past was not perfect. Therefore, I have got this birth again. What is the use of concocting? Whatever has passed. Now let me be sincere. Do not think of the future. If I work sincerely, then my future is all right. Let me work now for the future. Let me work now sincerely. Whatever the future will be, that will be. If I do not go to Vaikuntha, still I shall carry out the orders of the spiritual master. Now, if you've got this relationship, it may be eternal or not eternal. Why do you bother about all this? I have to do my duty, that's all. So it seems to me that Prabhupada's saying that why bother trying to understand all these intricate points? Just accept. Now you have a guru, you follow, do your duty to follow. And Govindadasi said that it seems, I remember you once saying, that if you follow the instructions of a guru, then he can be present in your heart. He'll remain present in your heart always. Is that correct? And Prabhupada said, everything will be revealed. Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata guru tasaite katita hiarta prakashante mahatmana. All these things will be revealed to the follower. We have also in this song that, from which this Janme Janme Prabhu say comes, Dibya Gyan Hride Prakashito. The guru reveals the import of the spiritual master, spiritual knowledge within the heart. So Govindadasi said, well, the principle of guru is within one's heart through Krishna, or is it that the personality, you as our spiritual master, remain always with us if we are following your instructions? Prabhupada said, yes, we're singing that daily. Do you not understand? Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Anakarhiya Manayasha. Prabhupada didn't quote here, Janme Janme Prabhu say. He quoted this. Take the words of the guru without desiring anything else, then we automatically come to the position of him being our guru birth after birth. Now, the guru is always with us in his instructions, but we have to do our part also. In Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, Text 50, Srila Prabhupada stated, when flying an airplane, one cannot take care of other planes. Everyone has to take care of his own plane, and if there is any danger, no other plane can help another in that condition. Similarly, at the end of life, when one has to go back home, back to Godhead, everyone has to take care of himself without help rendered by another. The help is, however, offered on the ground before flying. Similarly, the spiritual master, the father, the mother, the relatives, the husband, and others can all render help during one's lifetime, teaching one how to cross the ocean of birth and death. But while crossing the sea, one has to take care of himself and utilize the instructions formerly received. So in this statement, Srila Prabhupada is putting very much emphasis on our own responsibility, that we get the knowledge and the guru is ready to continue giving us that knowledge eternally, but we have to apply it ourselves. Ultimately, we have to apply it ourselves. It's our own choice. And we can say, well, no one is there to help us at the time of death. Well, Srila Prabhupada may kindly manifest in our minds, but here Srila Prabhupada is giving the warning that we have to take it up ourselves. Take the training, take the instructions. We have to do it ourselves. So, is it possible that I could be a god-brother of Srila Prabhupada in a previous life? Does it mean that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has to again personally appear in another form to deliver them? Does he appear in a dream or vision and guide them to someone? This dream and vision stuff, Prabhupada, he didn't very much like that. Actually, there are many, many instances of devotees having dreams of Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada, he didn't emphasize that. He emphasized, hear the instructions. Srila Prabhupada, he de-emphasized the mystical aspects and emphasized the practical aspects. So again, the original question then, does what we could call a lesser guru like myself, is it just a step toward connecting with a real guru? Well, actually, I'll discuss this in another talk. It's too much to discuss in one talk. How the disciple doesn't think like that. My guru is a lesser guru. He doesn't think like that. Anyway, one's god-brother or initiated disciple becomes one's guru. Prabhupada says spiritual relationships are eternal, so once a relationship is established, you don't to reverse that. It's not like that, for instance, Mother Yashoda becomes a gopi dancing with Krishna. There's a relationship. A spiritual relationship means it's on an eternal platform. So a lot of this is inconceivable. I've discussed some points. Yatha shruta yatha matihi, as much as I've heard and understood. I hope this is of some help. Ultimately, there are so many things which are not very understandable for us on this platform. Then how is it Chokhu Dana Diloje? Well, Srila Prabhupada himself, when he was asked about this, he said practically not to ask about it. Just go on serving. If we go on serving, then we're on the platform of eternality. Vanchakalpatarubhyas chakripasindubhya vichapatita anam pavadebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.